everyone, this is Mary from Rock of Life Fellowship. I lead the praise and worship music, and I'm also one of the youth and teen leaders. Rock of Life is a new place in Chico where people gather to learn that Jesus is real, always relevant, and wants a relationship with you. Each week, Pastor Alfredo shares a message from the Word of God that is current, relevant, and challenges us to grow our relationship with Jesus. Pastor Alfredo is also a worship leader and former singer of the Christian rock band JBC. We get together each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 2090 Amanda Way at the Little Chico Creek Elementary School, two blocks past Winco off Forest Avenue. Now here's Pastor Alfredo with a recent Rock of Life message.
So the last couple weeks, we've been talking a lot about the will of God. And 2 weeks ago, we were talking about getting back to basics, like when there's lots of things going on in your life and you kind of fade away a little bit, you think, oh, well, what do I have to do? And like, you start thinking, I got to get back to basics. And we talked about how kind of getting back to the basics, getting focused back on God is all about getting back to the Word of God. Amen? So we read a Bible verse, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 7. God's will is for you to be holy. And it was talking about getting away from the world's ways and immorality. And it was saying that you have to live holy lives, not impure lives. And we talked a lot about Galatians 5, which is my absolute favorite book in the Bible. Because I need to know, I'm pretty blunt, as my team knows, right? It's all in love, really. But it's like, I like to be told, this is the way to do things, and this is not the way to do things. It's like God telling us in Galatians chapter 5, if you haven't read it, sometimes people wonder, well, where do I start to read the Bible? I've read kind of the Gospels, and you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so what's next? I would say go straight to Galatians. But Galatians 5, we shared about it, the book and the chapter that talks about the ways of the world, and it's very specific about all the things that God is pleased with and what God's not pleased with. And then last week, we talked about how living to please God, you know, what was the purpose of that? You know, why should we live in the will of God? And we kind of came down to a Bible verse, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Are we getting an overhead? Good. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will learn the will of God for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And we talked about when you, like, you really try hard to live in the will of God, and even when you mess up, you can get back up, you keep going, because other people, and the bottom line was that other people would see your love for Christ, and they'd see how truly committed you are through the good, the bad, the in-between, but striving to live for God. We want to be the best example of Jesus to others. Amen? But knowing that it's really Jesus they need to be looking at. Okay, so this week, I'm going to kind of finish kind of a three-part message it kind of turned out to be. And I want to talk about when we strive to live the way God wants us to, and you're taking a stance for something, like we talked a couple weeks ago, you know, taking that stance for God, that sometimes that's not always easy. When you dedicate yourself, I mean, truly dedicate yourself, I'm going to live for God. I want to live in his will. I don't want to live in the ways of the world. I want to live in the ways of the Word. And you try to do things that are right according to God's Word, we can meet some resistance. Right? It happens. You try to make a stance for what you know to be right, but there's things that we have to deal with. If you look around nowadays, and my dad and I were talking on the way down here about all the things that happen to Christians nowadays, or people that believe in Jesus. A lot of people say God, a lot of people can say their faith and their belief, but it comes down to Jesus. Okay? Jesus. But when you start to stand up for those ways of God, you start looking around and you realize that suddenly the world and the nation and the culture seems to really not want to have anything to do with God's Word. or the truth. I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in years and years and years. But just last week, they did this skit that was making fun of the movie series God's Not Dead. I'm not going to tell you what it was about or what the title was, but anybody remember Pat Boone? Okay, Pat Boone. All right. Pat Boone came out against it and said that he called that segment on Saturday Night Live, he called it sacrilege. A violation or misuse of what is regarded as sacred. And it seems like anything that God stands for, His holy word, and as we strive to be in His will, we are being, the word is persecuted, but at the same time, the world sees it as just wrong. And we get attacked, and sometimes it's frustrating. You think about all the things that are going on. See, living in the will of God is not really pleasing to the enemy. He doesn't want us to do any good in this world. That's the sub. He doesn't like it when we overcome our issues. Enemy doesn't like it when we stop abuses that we maybe had in our life of drugs and addictions and basically any kind of abuse at all. He doesn't like it when we overcome our past, our mistakes. He doesn't like it when we stand up for the Word of God and transform our mind and go into the will of God in our life. The enemy, Satan, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when we repair relationships. He doesn't like it even when we treat people with love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. See, especially, the enemy doesn't like it when we tell people the truth about Jesus. And when we live in God's will, and like we've been talking about, and really striving to make a difference in this world, we're going to have opposition. The enemy likes division. He doesn't like... Can we go to that slide with the Galatians 5? All right. He doesn't like it when you try to leave behind you the sexual immorality, the impurities. Lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, fits of anger, wrath, envy, jealousy. He doesn't like it when we try to get that stuff out of our lives. He wants us there. When we talked about going to love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and a self-control that the Spirit of God offers. So it seems like we're in for a little bit of a battle. Standing up for God. We want to fight. You know, we want to do what's right. We really try. I mean, I see people that are trying to get past their past. Trying to make corrections in their life to be in the will of God. To not give up. To do what's right. To love others and treat them with respect even when we disagree or they disagree with us. And we don't want to fall into temptations. And we don't want to end up just destroying ourselves. You guys with me so far? See, people who love the Lord and try to follow His ways are met with that opposition. But here's the key here. The people that we're frustrated with, are the people really our opposition? Like we've been talking about, and here's your first highlight. If God calls us to walk in the Spirit, then we have to acknowledge that there is a spiritual opponent that would love to see us crash and burn and just ruin our lives. The book of Ephesians, which is probably the second book, my favorite book in the Bible that I'd recommend after Galatians, you start reading Ephesians. It explains the purpose of the church. To build a body that's united. It talks about how we're to love God and then love others. And the book of Ephesians talks how we as individuals, how we're supposed to be as, like, for example, me, how am I supposed to be as a man of God, a father, a husband? And the book of Ephesians takes you through this. We as believers can get frustrated with the physical people that are in front of us. And, you know, today's world and culture, I hear a lot of, and I pay attention, even when I'm at work, I hear what people are saying around me. And I listen, and they get mad at, oh, this person bothers me, and this person's bugging me. And how can this person be running for president? And how can this person be in charge? And how can this person? See, but we as believers, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says we are to be opposing something different, not the people. We need to realize that we should be praying against the spiritual influences in the battles that we have. Ephesians 6:10 through 12, a final word. This is Paul talking. Be strong in the Lord within his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, principalities, powers, authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. When I write up messages sometimes, I always tell you guys, I used to be a TV movie buff-aholic. Something like that. And it's funny because, like, when I'm walking around sometimes, people say, hey, remember that guy in that movie? And I'm like, oh, it was that guy. And I'm like a walking Google. But so I was writing this message, and I think about TV shows and movies sometimes. I guess God uses analogies like that with me. So recently, I went to go see the Batman versus Superman movie. Has anybody seen that?
No.
Oh. I'm Team Batman by any chance, just so you know. Hey, Batman. Can we go to that slide? Hey, okay, cool. All right. So I've been a Batman fan since I was like 3 years old. I there's a picture someplace of me in a Batman costume with a cape, and I'm on a swing set someplace. I think we're at Jake and Imelda's house. And there's a picture I have someplace. I got the little bat ears and the cape, and I'm like, I used to just love Batman. So I remember walking around with the outfit on, you know, thinking I had power, I could fly, and I could do these things. And I still remember, like, the Batman gear I had. But there's one thing I really remember was how cool the suit was, right? So if you look at the suits that the superheroes wear, can you go to the next one? So you got all these suits, right? And the one that always struck me about Batman is, you know, Aquaman has some kind of weird power to live in the water and breathe underwater, and the Green Lantern gets his power from a ring, and there's Wonder Woman who's got the lasso of truth and the power bracelets, and Superman's from Krypton and whatever. He gets his power that way, and then there's the Flash who's super fast, and then that's Cyborg on the end, and he's like half man, half machine. But Batman is just a normal guy. What gave him his power was the suit. And if you took the suit off, he was just normal Bruce Wayne, just regular guy. You put the suit on, suddenly, he's Batman. And guys, I can't believe somebody's Batman. Come on. Have you guys ever gone to like a superhero movie and you watch the guys walk out afterwards? They're like, I'm Batman. You know, they got the attitude, they get in their cars, like it's the Batman. Nobody? It's just me? Something about superhero movies, guys walk out like they're Batman. It's a guy thing, I guess. It's a girl thing, too? You walk out like Superman or Wonder Woman? Batman. Spider-Man. Well, he got bit by, he's got superhero powers, and Batman's like the only normal guy.
Superman is Clark Kent.
Well, he's always got the superpowers, whether he has a suit on or not. But that's a really good point. See, it's about protective battle gear. It's about putting on what's going to help them attack the enemy, right? And the guys are, I know we're kind of weird, but we put on something and you feel empowered, right? See, the thing is, God does equip us. He does give us power, and we may not even realize it. And that's a key thing. You have to realize that God gives us what is called the armor of God. Can we go to that next slide? Women, men, your super suit. See, the thing is that people who put their faith in God and strive to live the way Christ wants us to live, and we do the best we can, and we strive every day to do better than we did yesterday, and get up tomorrow saying, I'm going to do better than I did yesterday again. We have a suit of armor that we should be wearing at all times.
Yes.
Never take it off.
Right.
See, we have at our disposal a super suit that'll give us the defensive gear and the most powerful offensive weapon anywhere.
Amen.
We can fight off attacks, keep us safe, and even if we get knocked down, we're empowered to get back up again. We can battle against anything that may come against us. Spiritual attacks of the enemy who shoots fiery darts that are meant to break our walk with God. See, in Ephesians, that was one of Paul's letters that he wrote from prison. He's in prison, and he's telling us. See, he's walking around prison in his cell, and he sees outside all these soldiers, these Roman soldiers, and the armor and the gear that they have on. Paul gave a really clear and a very awesome comparison between a soldier's physical suit of armor and the spiritual armor of God. In Ephesians 6:10 through 18, he writes, "A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategy of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." And here's the part, verse 13. "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy. And at the time of evil, then after the battle, you will be standing firm. You'll stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor, the breastplate of God's righteousness. For shoes, you put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Give some praise in the house for that. I'm telling you. I'm getting worked up. Here's the big thing. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. See, when we put on that armor of God, we will be prepared for the enemy's attempts to attack us. With all that junk on the worldly list on Galatians 5. Is that on the next slide? Great. Go one more. One more slide. Okay, great. So the stuff in Galatians 5, the pride, the envy, the jealousy, the lust, the idolatry, the quarreling, the gossip. And there's a lot of things that you can add that you can actually a synonym, like some of these words, there's the incompetence that you have, the strife, the stress, you know, the loss of your inhibitions and your morals and your ethics. See, all these things the enemy wants us to live in. Putting on the armor of God and praying and all the things we've been talking about recently is going to help us walk what in Galatians 5 God calls the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to go through each piece of armor. It's important for you to know what every piece means. The belt of truth. It keeps us strong in the truth of God's word and keeps us from believing the lies of this world. There are so many people out there that are just convoluting and trying to dilute the Word of God. It especially catches my attention when people that don't have a faith in the God, the creator of the universe, His Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, when these people will sometimes just throw out a Bible verse. Well, what about not judging people? Well, what about that? Or, hey, I thought you're Jesus' love, and you know, and I thought, hey, Jesus, you know, he hung around the sinners. So as if they're using the Word of God to compromise with the content and the real truth of God's Word is. So the belt of truth is going to stop us from believing the lies of the enemy. So we've got to read the Word of God and strive to apply it. Amen?
Amen.
The breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ, given by God to us when we receive by faith. keeping us striving for a holy, pleasing life to God, living in His will and ways. The shoes of peace. I just bought new shoes recently. God, they're so great. They've given me peace. I've had pretty messed up feet for years. Torn plantar fasciitis, the whole thing. And I usually wear these orthotics. These are the first shoes I wear that I have. They have this memory foam in it. And peace. I'm not as tall as I used to be, but I'm... See, the shoes of peace, that's the message of the gospel. That's what gives us peace. See, the enemy's going to place all these dangerous obstacles in your way because he doesn't want you to follow the gospel. He doesn't want you to spread the good news. So he'll distract you with a lot of different things. He'll throw things in your path. Just when you think you're making progress, something comes up and it distracts you. And you try to get back and you try to tell people about Jesus, try to be that example you want to be. And then the enemy throws something else at you to distract you. Walking in the will of God will give you peace. The shield of faith. Faith stops the enemy from causing us to doubt God and His Word. You do have to have faith. Just a little bit of faith. You have to have faith. When you start having doubt and the enemy starts, well, maybe this isn't meant to be. You know, all the stuff that's going on coming against us. Maybe it's just not meant to be. No, that's just the enemy trying to distract you and throw a bunch of obstacles in your way and stop you from living the life that God wants us to live. Then there's the helmet of salvation. We talked about that. That's our inheritance for our faith in Jesus Christ. When we do get overwhelmed and we know we're in a battle, that salvation we have to be able to say, Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior. God, I trust in you. It's okay. Knowing that we have salvation, that's going to give us that hope that we're supposed to have now and the hope for eternity. Now, remember I told you the most powerful weapon? Everything that we've talked about so far is defensive. It's meant to hold off the enemy. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The other pieces are defensive, but the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that's an offensive weapon. We should be swinging this around. We should have the sword, and we should just take the Word of God. It'll cut through. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is going to overcome any obstacle. You see a wall in front of you, take the Word of God to it. You see an obstacle in front of you that's preventing you from doing what God wants you to do, to restore your family, to stand strong when your peers around you are putting pressure on you. That's the way we're supposed to be nowadays. Man, that's how we're supposed to feel. You take the Word of God, and you use the Word of God to put you back on track in the will. Yes. Amen? Yes. But what's going to hold us all together? Prayer. We are to pray in the Spirit. That means with the mind and the heart of Christ. Praying for God's will to be done. Prayer is our spiritual strength from God. See, we can do all this, but without prayer, without a reliance on God, any attempt to take on the enemy is going to be pretty futile. It's going to give us a lot of trouble. We have to pray. We have to pray. And Rock of Life, we talked about this before. Our house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You have to just fill up your home, your house, your marriage, your kids, your friends, your work. You got to just fill it with prayer and pray. And when you're done, pray more. Yes. See, here's your highlight, your second highlight. It's the part I really want you to focus on. Paul says to put on the armor of God. So the key is we don't take the armor off. Or at least we're not supposed to. So you're just as bad. We may have the armor of God on, but we don't use it. To have the Word of God in your home, there are places in this world where trying to get the Bible, trying to get the Word of God, you can't. You'll be killed for it. And I walk into my home and there's like 10 Bibles in my book cabinet. There's like three in my office. There's like one in my bedroom. My phone, every time I have the phone, I have access to the Word of God. If we don't use it, how can we have it affect our lives? How can we change things? And with the armor of God, we need to know every piece. We need to know how it's to be used so that we can be spiritually, underline, victorious. Defeating the enemy's attacks and not giving in to those battles that we have while we try to walk out our faith and walk out the will of God. See, if we believe in the Spirit of God driving us so that we can live in God's will, then we have to acknowledge the spiritual forces that do not want to see God's Spirit work in our lives. And this is for people of any age. I used to work with the high school here, Champion Christian. And that's one thing I try to get people, the kids, to see is that sometimes the biggest opponent you have is just those immediate people around you, no matter of any age. And trying to walk in the will of God as you get older, it gets more difficult. Only because of the opposition that you get. And internally, if we don't learn when we're younger, as we get older, we get a little cantankerous, cranky, stubborn. We need to learn quick as possible. It's because God's going to prepare us for these life's battles. Whether we're working with our friends, we're in our relationships, whether we're dealing with our finances or our health issues, whatever we come against. I'm going to mention something about Debbie's and I's personal life. So in case you guys don't know, about 12, almost 13 years ago, Debbie starts getting this neurological disease. And at the time, we were fairly strong. But I'll tell you what, without the armor of God, for the last 12, 13 years, I don't think hold hands, jump off a cliff? I don't know. Without the armor of God and fighting this every single day, we would not be here right now. See, the fight now we have is hard. And we get tired. We get cranky. Again, just ask my team. but we keep battling because we have the armor of God on. Because we know that there is nothing on heaven or earth more powerful than God. Amen. Amen. So, but I want to stay on that point for a second. We get weary. We get tired. We get beat up a lot. And I'm not saying I want these battles. Hey, I'm not standing here saying, bring it on. You know, I sometimes, Lord, you know, please let this pass. You know, please give me the victory. If we get down or depressed or we have a rough day, you know, we have the armor of God on. But back to the sword of the Spirit, reading God's word will refresh us. I've been trying to make it a point when I get frustrated to just repeat Bible verses. See, we have to fight. We have to. We want to fight to save our marriage, our kids, our ministry, our jobs, our friends. We pray for the world. We pray for our nation. We pray for our city. We pray for our neighbors. I'm not going to let something attack me and not do anything about it. I mean, guys, we think we're macho. Sometimes we think we're Batman. But if we walk out of the house and we haven't put on the suit, we're not ready for battle. And there was a time where I would not fight. And I got kicked around pretty bad. And whether I had the armor of God on or not, I just wasn't using it. But now, I'm ready. I get really anxious. I'm going to fight. I'm ready. I'm so ready. But this leads me to the next point. If we're to fight and people, you know, that love the Lord, we're ready to prepare for battle, why? Why do we keep fighting?
Hey everyone, this is Tommy from Rock of Life. I'm also a youth pastor and teen leader along with my wife, Mary. You can listen to Pastor Alfredo's messages here on KKXX at 12 noon Monday through Friday. You can also hit us up on our website at rockoflifechico.org to see Pastor Alfredo's messages on our YouTube channel link. And feel free to like us on Facebook. If you were inspired and blessed by today's message and would like to continue to hear more from Rock of Life on this radio program, visit our website, rockoflifechico.org, and support us with a one-time or monthly donation. At Rock of Life, we're a family, and everyone is welcome to come as they are, grow, or start your relationship with Jesus. Join us for weekly Bible studies for men, women, and teens, and check out the event calendar on our website for dates and times.
Thanks for listening, and see you on Sunday.